Luke chapter 24. Beginning at verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 10. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Verse 11 says, And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And then if you want to go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to have actually three different passages we want to look at right away. Acts 1. Luke is also writing here under the inspiration of the Spirit. Beginning at verse 1, he says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And then one more passage, and we'll make some comments here this morning. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and beginning of verse 1. And going down to verse 6. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. This is John as he writes here. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that's Jesus, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Read a little bit further than what I had intended, but it gets exciting there. I read these passages here. I know it's a different kind of format than normal to go from one text to another to another. But I read all of this so we can catch a glimpse from one passage to another as we see the resurrected Savior in a way that we don't see him oftentimes portrayed in the world. Yes, it's a fact that the tomb is empty. And beloved, we meet today for that reason, but not just today. Every Lord's Day we meet because the grave is empty. And we meet because Jesus is alive. Preach to you today on the truth about the risen Savior. It's important for us to declare and to point out and to tell others that the grave is empty. But that's only part of the story. That's only part of the full gospel. You see, the full gospel is that Jesus came and he died for the sins of his people. The full story is that he died on the cross, himself not having any sin at all. But because of the sins of his people, he died there, and then he was buried. And after 3 days and three nights, he arose. And that he is indeed alive. And we get that full picture. And of course, that's just in a nutshell what I've just told you. But we get that full picture from the scriptures here. And as we see, that not only is it a truth that Jesus is alive, but as we see here, that Jesus is central to what we are and who we are. Luke, as he wrote the Gospel of Luke, Same thing with Matthew, Mark, and John. They were writing centrally about Jesus. The book of Acts. What were those guys doing? The Acts of the Apostles. What were they doing? They were going about preaching the resurrected Jesus. And indeed, when we look at all of the scriptures, all 66 books from the Old Testament to the New Testament, Jesus is the central theme of every bit of it, the golden thread that binds all of this together. And then when we get to Revelation chapter 5, we get this glimpse of heaven. And I love this one. I love this one. John sees this, you know, and God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the preaching of God's word, John has been banished to an island. You know, people come to islands all the time. People come to Jekyll Island, St. Simon's Island. They go there for vacation, and perhaps even you've been there recently and you've enjoyed the island life and the salt life, and you've enjoyed all of those things. But this was no vacation for John. He was banished there, left there to die. There was no bridge to get back to the mainland. There was no boat to get him home. For all he knew, he might be left there to die. He had no resources. There was no Walmart or Harris Teeter or anything like that to help him out. No good seafood restaurant or anything of that nature. But God blessed him with this vision of things to come. And I love how this whole thing starts, you know, in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You see, he got, even in the depths of what trouble he was going through, he didn't forget that it was the Lord's day. Whatever kind of trouble you're going through, whatever kind of stress you might be going on, don't ever forget what day of the week it is, and especially don't forget that it's the Lord's day. And as he was given this revelation, by the way, if you look at the first page of this book, it may say at the top, like your Bible, like my Bible does. My Bible says at the top, it says, the revelation of St. John the Divine. Those words were added by men. But if you look at the first verse, the inspired word of God says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's important. This isn't about John. This is about Jesus. The whole book, the whole Bible is about Jesus. And when we get to chapter 5 of Revelation, he sees some things. I mean, we could get into all of that, but I want us to understand here that in heaven, the Lamb was central to all the others there. He's in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. He is central to everything that's going on, everything that John sees. He's central to the Bible. He's central to the book of Revelation. And if you are saved today, if you're a child of God, if you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, he ought to be central in your life. He ought to be central in my life. He's central to our churches. Central to this church. You realize that if it weren't for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as Paul said in the text that we read earlier, our preaching is in vain. We have no need to meet every Sunday, every Wednesday. Pack it up and go home, right? In Revelation 1, verses 12 and 13, he says, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." That's Jesus. "Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." And if you skip on down, you can find out what all that means. He says there in verse 20, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks." The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Jesus was with those seven churches of Asia Minor. You know what that means? That means Jesus is with His churches today. I believe Jesus is with this church today. Central. The tomb is empty. Even as, how was it the angel told those ladies there at the tomb? Oh, I love that. In Luke 24:5. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" The tomb is empty. I love to walk through cemeteries. Call me strange if you want. But there's a lot of history in those cemeteries. Those monuments and those markers, they tell a lot, but they don't tell the whole story, do they? They tell something. It's interesting because I used to do a lot of genealogy. And so you'd go in and you'd go look at the tombs and you'd see usually a birth date and a death date. What's the biggest part of a person's life? That little dash in between. That little dash. Those women went to this cemetery that day. But they didn't find him there. The stone was rolled away. That stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. That stone was rolled away because those women needed to see that He was gone. He's not there. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Isn't that what He told them? You'll be witnesses. You see, we have a message to tell. Oh, it's a message of one who died. But it's a message of one who is alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see how this message is delivered. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein or which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or rather have died. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Do not we see that in Revelation there? The living Savior, the risen Savior. In Revelation 5 and verse 6. As John tells us what he saw, he said, "Stood a lamb as it had been slain." When a lamb is slain, they don't stand. But this one did. This one did. The Lamb of God, standing. As he describes him, as it had been slain, I believe as John saw him, he saw the marks, the scars upon him. Any normal man who had been crucified like that would not have been able to stand. But Jesus did. Jesus does. He died on the cross for our sins. But he rose victorious from the grave. When those women came to the grave, I love the fact that so much had been said about the fact that he would rise again. That none of this should have taken them by surprise, but it did, didn't it? It did. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others were with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. By the time they got there, Jesus was already gone. He had already risen. When they went to tell what they had seen and what they had heard, told the apostles. But at first, the words seemed to them as, what's the passage say there, verse 11? Idle tales. They believed them not. We don't celebrate Easter the way other churches do. somebody put on Facebook that they were going to have a Easter service, and to make it scriptural, they were going to just have the women come to the sunrise service. And somebody put underneath, said, well, can the men show up late? Make it scriptural. What they were referring to was all this. It's good to pay attention to things like that. But we also need to pay attention to other details. The fact that, like for instance, the fact that when they came on Sunday morning, he was gone already. You see? We meet on Sundays because Jesus was risen already. Sunday being the Lord's day. Over in Matthew chapter 12, the apostles shouldn't have been surprised. And sometimes we give them a rough time, but look at Matthew chapter 12. Verses 38-40. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus had been telling that he would only be there for 3 days and three nights. That it would just be 3 days. That it would not be forever. They should not have been surprised. And sometimes we look at this and we say, well, why were the apostles so surprised? Why weren't they expecting this? But you know, we're sometimes just like that, aren't we? Things happen in our world and we think, well, how in the world is this happening? But if we'd read our Bibles and pay attention, we'd really understand some of the things that are going on in our world. We wouldn't be so surprised. But at the end of the day, we're reminded that the apostles were human just like we are. Just like we are. And we struggle with those things. But when we look at this, and we look at this passage, Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. It's hard to squish that in between Friday and Sunday. And so that's, people ask me, people used to give me a hard time at work. They said, David, don't you celebrate, don't you believe in the resurrection of Jesus if you don't celebrate Easter? Well, we do believe in the resurrection of Jesus. It's just a mathematical problem trying to squish 3 days and three nights between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. If Matthew 12:40 is true, and it must be because it is Scripture, you can't have a Friday death and a Sunday resurrection. But I believe he was in the heart of the earth, just like he said, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I believe he was there Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Now, it's common for folks to get confused on this and all that sort of thing. So, you know, I don't get into big arguments about it and that sort of thing, but I will say this, that in John chapter 19, I'm just laying these things out here for you to think about. I'll let the Lord do with it as he will. But in John 19 and verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And some folks do say it has to be a Friday crucifixion, since I'm meant to read verse 31. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. This was not the Saturday Sabbath that some would assume it to be. It was a high day, a special Sabbath, all associated around the time of Passover. And what a glorious picture that is there. When we consider the math, the timing of it being the time of the Passover, and all of that, then also the fact that the women came, and on Sunday the tomb was already empty. This is the reason why we believe that the grave was already, that Jesus was already risen Sunday morning. In Luke, there, in verse 24, or Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24, verse 6, he says, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Every once in a while, you'll hear some stories that come out of the Middle East and say that they found the body of Jesus. I'm telling you today, regardless of what you believe about the mathematics of the resurrection, and we can disagree on the date, but if you get this wrong, if you believe that the body of Jesus is somewhere in this world, then you have no hope. You have no hope. I believe you ought to study the and at least consider the timing and the mathematics of it all. But understand something. Jesus' body is not to be found anywhere in this world. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read many eyewitness accounts. Mark that down and understand something. If you were taking anything out of history and trying to study it, you'd want to go back and look at the historical eyewitness accounts. You'd go back and try to find that, wouldn't you? You'd go back and read the eyewitness accounts of the men and the women who were there. You wouldn't take someone else's word for it. I mean, if you wanted to know about the, let's take something that was recent. If you wanted to know what life was like on the morning of 9/11/2001, you'd want to go and find out from people who were there. Don't ask me. I wasn't there. Here's an eyewitness account. Eyewitness account of someone someone's, plural, who was there. Over 500 people saw him after his death. To deny the resurrection of Christ is to believe some very unbelievable things. For instance, they must believe that under penalty of death, the Roman soldiers all slept at once. To deny the resurrection of Christ, you must believe and accept the testimony of sleepers. To believe that Jesus didn't rise from the dead is to believe that the disciples, who were so afraid, all at once became tremendously bold. Remember, at the crucifixion, remember what happened? They all fled. They were afraid. But then all of a sudden, something happened, didn't it? They all got really bold. Now, how in the world did that happen? If you are to believe that the resurrection of Christ is a fraud, you would have to believe that the grave robber got into the tomb, took his body, and took the time to neatly fold the grave clothes. It just doesn't make sense. You would also have to believe, as you study history, that those disciples were willing to risk their lives for a dead imposter when they would not do it for a living Savior. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I preached not too long ago about those infallible proofs. Those infallible proofs. You know, all of human history, when we talk about Jesus being central, even history, Jesus Christ is central to history. How do we measure time? B.C., meaning before Christ, and then A.D., meaning Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And then some of these clever, progressive Marxist fellows, they said, well, we can't do that. That's not right. So we'll do BCE and ACE. I said, what in the world is that? Well, before the Common Era and after the Common Era. All right, so what's the dividing factor? Well, we don't want to talk about that. Well, it's because the dividing factor is Jesus Christ. You see, they can't get away from it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 13. I read this earlier, but we'll read it again because it's so good, it's worth repeating. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. You see, we have hope in Jesus Christ. My hope today is not in this present evil world. My hope today is not in anything else except in Jesus Christ. It would be vain and useless for me to preach, vain and useless for me to come to church. Be vain and useless for me to get up and do anything. If Christ were not resurrected, you see, we need to share this hope with others. There's more to this story than once per year. And it's not just a story. Oh, beloved, it's a story that if you get it wrong, it's a matter of life or death. If we realized as a country and as a people how much that our neighbors and the people around us needed this message. If folks realized what this message really needs. I mean, away with the gimmicks and the tricks and the fluff. Listen, folks, there are people out there today that won't be able to see the crucifixion, the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus on this Lord's Day, because they can't see it beyond the rabbits and the eggs, the candy and the games. Nothing wrong with games or candy. They have their place. But we've got to realize that this is serious. This is serious. This is hope in life in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism, excuse me, into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Christ has been buried and then rose again, let us walk in newness of life. Let us cast aside the darkness of this evil world, sinfulness, and let us live in the day. May it be more than just once per year, but each and every day. And if you know the Lord, may that be what you do. And if you don't know the Lord, you've heard the gospel preached. Believe on him. Trust him. May God add a blessing to his word.